Blog Talk Radio.
Cancer Answer Show in sunny San Diego. So today's show is going to be a good topic, and we're going to have a guest today to discuss that topic, and it's regarding living with family and friends that have cancer or that are surviving with cancer. But first I wanted to let everybody know that the show is sponsored by countyproperties.net, local real estate company in San Diego County. Will be able to take care of you and your family just as if you are own. So you're in good hands with all your real estate needs. And my co-host is Stephen Izakovich. How are you doing, Stephen?
Hey, good. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I want to tell all of our listeners, you can call in at 1-347-215-8709 and to be able to talk to the host or co-host. So it looks like a good show.
Yeah, and you're able to replay the show at any time. The show is live for the next 30 minutes, and then it'll be available through Blog Talk Radio, or you could contact me through Facebook at Arnie Levine, and we have posts in both places. And so today we're going to have a special guest, a friend of mine for almost 40 years, I'm scared to say. And that's her giggling. She's always Miss Sunshine. That's Susie Bindi. Welcome to the show, Susie.
Thank you, Arnie.
And you just heard Stephen, so he's the co-host.
Hi, Stephen.
You haven't met. Sometimes when you guys come down to visit, we'll all get together. So the reason why I wanted to invite you to the show, Susie, was because the Cancer Answer Show is about patients dealing with survival, and also the most important thing to a patient when they're going through diagnosis or treatment or a possibility, sometimes it's fate going through their last phase before they pass. It's all about the family. Me being a patient for the last 20 years, every time I've gotten sick, my concerns and my friends and family around. And when people hear what others are going through, and when it's shared to them, it makes it easier for them to handle the burden, because the biggest problem for most people is when they first get diagnosed with the family is it's the fear of the unknown questions, and then all these questions come up. So the reason why I wanted you to be able to be on the show, which I'm very proud of you, the way that you're handling it as far as supporting your family, but you have two family members and you lost some family members recently. And thank God for your parents. They got to live to a ripe age. I don't know what age that is, but did you want to share about them and then talk about your brother and your sister?
Well, it's still kind of raw, so it's pretty hard to share about my parents. I didn't know you were going to bring up my parents. I just lost my dad.
It's about what you're comfortable in sharing. not about my questions.
Yeah, it's still pretty raw when it comes
to
my parents.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, I just lost my father in October.
Yeah. I know it's very difficult to talk about, it's very difficult to talk about this, but our listeners are going through the same thing that you are going through. So it's not you alone that's going through this, but there are many, many others that share your experience. And with all and everybody has the strength to be able to look at our how fragile we are in our mortality and be able to see when these special circumstances come up into our life right there and how we handle those. And we bravely march forward because we're still alive. So have the strength that's deep down inside of you, because that's all the ones that are gone are hoping the best for you, that you stay strong.
Yeah, and I wish I could be more strong all the time, but, it's easy to go on with life and kind of forget about all the emotions that are there, or just, and as you do all the things that you're required to do every day, just all the, tasks and projects that you set in front of yourself during life that make it real easy to forget about how emotional you feel. But, and there's different perspectives of how to look at it, for sure, because really, honestly, my father died at the ripe age, like you said, Arnie, of 87, and he really had an amazing life. And
good for him.
That's the best way to look at it.
Go
ahead.
I've known both of parents, and it's amazing the life that he had. And I know the nice thing is that both parents passed down those the best qualities they had onto you, because we've been good friends for four decades, believe it or not. the mourning process is not to sweep under the rug. It's something to evolve with, because it is part of them giving you life. And now you were there for them, in their time of leaving this life to another realm.
Yeah.
The world to come. Right. The world to come. So I know it's difficult on that part. Any suggestions for other people that are going through losing a parent or two parents, going through the mourning process? So one of the things you said, it's easier to be involved in life again in routines or part of that.
Yeah, well, that definitely makes it easier if you kind of stay busy and, be productive. I like to be productive. So when I'm productive from day to day, I always feel a lot better. And, having, faith definitely helped me to get through it as well, because, it's just a good feeling to know that they're, up there enjoying all the goodies that the Almighty have in store for us after this life. And, as we know it, and, I'm not here with my brother, but my brother's here in my house right now, for a while, and he has been telling me that my dad used to always say that when he passes away, he'll be sitting next to Jesus with a crown of jewels on his head, and he firmly believed that. So I don't know if the crown looks all that great or not, but anyway, I guess he's probably in a pretty good place. When I think about it like that, it also helps a lot. So being busy on the one hand helps me, because it was very, very sad for me to watch him go. And, and also just knowing that there's a better place that doesn't have any pain and suffering, and that, has all the wonderful things that I couldn't even really begin to imagine there waiting for all of us. It helps a lot too.
I lost both my parents, as you know, and same thing, they're in their 80s, both passed away from third bout and sixth bout cancer, my dad. But they lived a long life. That was the key thing. They lived with the cancer. In the old days of technology, they did the best they could. And now as time gets better, we have more chances of survival. For me, I didn't think I'd be here 20 years later. I thought it was 5 or maybe 10. The thing that I learned with my parents, because they passed back in 2005 and 10, is I started thinking of them the way they were before they passed. And now I have pictures when they're younger, even when I'm younger. And it's like, well, they're no longer in this world, the physical. So their manifestation, whether it be in heaven or the soul transmigrates into a new life here, I picture them now as younger, healthier. And that's one of the great opportunities about living a life and then going through illness and age, your soul continues regardless of the physical body. Go ahead.
Yeah, kind of along those lines, one of the things that occurred to me after they passed, both my parents passed, was that how long of a life that they actually had before I was ever even born. And so, of course, because my mind after they passed just went all over the place, and I've had some interest in reading their journals and finding out, who they were when I wasn't, I was raising my children, and I wasn't really paying that much attention during that phase necessarily to my parents. I mean, I was always close to them, but they weren't my primary focus, obviously, while I was raising three children. But, just the kind of things that they went through, or maybe while I was in college or doing whatever I was doing, that had me distracted from paying as much attention to them as I did as a child. It's interesting to, learn a part about your parents that you just, didn't even know of. And I found myself wanting to be around people who knew him in ways that I never would have. Like, sometimes we think we know our, I thought I knew my parents so well. I mean, and, I still feel like I knew them very well. I'm not complaining at all about my relationship with my parents. I had a great relationship with them. But there were phases that I wasn't involved in, or certainly before I was born and when I was a very young child, I wasn't aware of what kind of adult things they were going through during those periods of time. And so I found myself being attracted to spending time with, for instance, this one man who lives in Palm Springs who knew my father since he was in high school, obviously much longer than I knew him. I was born when he was about 30, so he knew him for, probably an extra 15 years during a phase that, I never had the opportunity to know my dad. And so that was kind of neat. I found myself kind of searching for, or just being drawn to people who knew my dad or my mom in, different phases. So that was it was more impactful with my dad because he died second. And because, I don't know, it was really weird. I had different experiences with the two of them dying. I think because my mom died first, then the focus was on my dad, and it didn't give me much time and energy to focus on my mom because the focus almost immediately turned to my dad. And so then when he died, it was all about him. So it's taken me a while to move past that and also include my mom in some of the mourning and the thought process.
Well, one of the things I wanted to acknowledge you as not just as a host of this show, which Stephen would concur with that part's true, but as your friend watching you go through the process, not all children are like how you were. There are children that are, that basically let their parents in nursing homes or going through the final phases, and they'll stick them in an institution, but they don't visit them or they don't stay in contact like you did. So I admire that character that you have, and that was taught from both our parents, that I'm hoping that all of us who listen to this are inspired by you.
Oh, thank you, Arnie. I, you know, they were great parents, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, for lack of effort, because, you know, they, I think together they probably did about, no, not together, individually, they each did about 30 years of therapy, counseling. They were both counselors themselves, and they also did marriage counseling and individual counseling for at least 30 years, I'm sure of it. And so, you know, they definitely had a lot of intuition about, you know, people and relationships and all of that kind of a thing. But,
and how to bring you up. And how to bring you
up.
Yeah,
they did pretty – I felt like they did okay when it comes to bringing me up. But, you know, I do have four siblings, and I'm the youngest of the five. And the oldest one, who's 9 years my senior – I really feel like we were raised by different parents, even though it was the same parents. The growth that my parents had during, you know, the time period from when my oldest sister was born, or my oldest sibling, to the time that I was born, they just changed so much. I feel like, you know, we had completely different upbringings.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, I brought that up to her the other day. Yeah.
Well, and talking about your siblings, so you're going through, or your family's going through challenges again. So it's your sister and your brother, and you just told me recently that your brother's staying with you to help out because your sister's been taking care of him. So would you mind sharing about both of them and what the challenges are?
Yeah. My oldest sister, Charlene, she's suffering right now from breast cancer, and she's up in Northern California. I'm in Southern California, so I don't get to be there with her regularly, but she's pretty fortunate because she has a 30-some-year-old daughter who's married with a brand-new grandchild for her, and they live right across the street. So I do feel like she doesn't need me as much as somebody else in the family might. She's real close to her daughter, and she just loves that she has a new granddaughter. And she's got a strong husband who's retired, who's able to, she has quite a bit of care, although I've told her that I'm available if, you know, if they burn out, because I know it's a lot on the caregivers sometimes. And so I've told her, and I've told her husband and her daughter, that if they come up against a time where they feel like, you know, they need additional help, to reach out to me. But they haven't. And this is, she's been going through chemotherapy now for about, I would say about 4 months. And it got pretty tough. She got very, very sick. She lost all of her hair. She lost her, you know, eyelashes and her eyebrows, and, you know, she's still going through it. And they had a plan for her where she had one type of chemotherapy, and then after about, I think about 6 weeks or a couple, maybe it was more like 2 or 3 months, they switched her over to another type of chemotherapy, which was supposed to be more tolerable, she was told, but on her first treatment of the new therapy, she had such an adverse reaction to it. She said she felt like her body was like burning. She couldn't wear shoes, and her feet were all swollen. She couldn't even really walk, and she couldn't wear shoes. I already said that, and her feet were all red, and, you know, she said she was starting to see signs of blistering, and she just told the doctor that, you know, she could not go through that particular type of chemotherapy, that she felt that was killing her, actually. And so, you know, they gave her kind of a little bit of a break, like 3-week break or something like that. She got sick too during that period, so she couldn't take the chemo. And then when she came back, they put her on something different that she has been more tolerable for her. But I just stay in touch with her and kind of call and let her know that, you know, I'm here and thinking about her, and that, you know, she knows there's a lot of people who care, but you never want to take that for granted. So anyway, that's my sister. You know, she's in pretty good shape in terms of people around with energy and, you know, close proximity so that they could help keep an eye on her. And then there's my brother, and he is, he's been suffering with a brain tumor for about 15 years. And when he first was diagnosed with the tumor, everyone thought that he had about 8 years, and it's been 15. So he's beat the statistics on the type of cancer that he has. But he's had brain surgery. He had about 95 to 99% of his tumor removed. They couldn't remove it all because, the cognitive problems that were at risk if they removed some that was too close to the brain, or I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't really understand all the details, but. Anyway, then he, you know, for years he did chemo every 3 to 5 years, and, if there was any kind of activity, they were always testing to see if there was any growth activity showing on his scans, and typically he was having the chemo about every 3 to 5 years, and then at one point, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, he had radiation, and that really took a toll on him. And, after that radiation, he had, a couple seizures and, in this whole process, he lost his business. He had had a successful heating and air conditioning business that he had built up and was very, very successful. And he also had to sell his home, because he couldn't keep the payments up on that, and he had risked, a foreclosure on that property that was in Malibu. And, so since then, after that, then he actually lived in a little tiny outbuilding in, the yard of one of his friends, until that friend actually passed away from cancer. And then, he stayed there as long as, I guess, the utilities were on. And then he had to go, and he ended up staying with my father for 4 years and until my father passed. And then, he's basically, for four or five years, not had a home. I hate to call him homeless because it sounds so bad.
A challenge that a lot of times we don't think or discuss sometimes, but for people that live alone, it's difficult because you become dependent. If you have help, luckily he had you guys, and now you're helping out. I wanted to ask you a question. You were sharing a simple thing that became a big deal because we want to talk about support type of thing. So you just started helping out, taking care of you, staying with you because was it your other sister she was preoccupied, so you're helping out with your brother. And and it was about medicine, a very simple thing. So he forgot his meds. You want to just share that the summary of that? That's an important thing for people to know when they're helping caregiving.
Yeah. In all this process with my brother, he had last year on April, he had a seizure, and then that was followed by a stroke. And of course, he had some deficiencies as a result of that stroke and some things like memory, other physical things like walking and things like that. But the reason I bring that up is because of the memory issues. And I went and picked my brother up from my sister to give her a little break, which she dearly needed. She's had him for about 4 months off and on. And he asked, you know, is there anything that I need to remember? And the one thing I tried to remind him of is, you know, your medicine. And he said he's got that all handled and organized. And so we went ahead and left. And when we got here at my house, and my sister called me that night when she got home from work and said, his medicine's here. And so we had forgotten his medicine. And I really didn't have an appreciation, really, for how important the medicine is. And I'm learning the hard way, unfortunately, how important some people's medicine is for them. I don't take any prescription medicine, so I don't have a personal experience of it. I saw it with my dad when he went off of his medication prior to his death, and then now I had an experience this past week with my brother when we forgot his medication. And we hadn't actually even forgotten it. We just left it even though we remembered it. And so what happened was we decided that my sister was going to overnight the medicine to me, and rather than me driving up, you know, to get it, which I was willing to do. But she said, no, I'll just put it in overnight mail, which she did. But that was at night, and so he had missed his medicine that night. The next day she mailed it, so he missed his medicine that entire day. And then the next day he missed his morning medicine, and we were expecting his medicine to arrive between 2 or 5. Well, I didn't notice any change in him at all, and I took him out to lunch that day that we were expecting the medicine to come, and we were sitting there at a restaurant eating this big monster burrito that we were sharing, and he suddenly started convulsing. He went into a seizure, and it was really, really scary. I'd never seen anything like that before. I mean, I knew right away what it was, but I had to jump up and hold on to him because he really didn't even have the facilities to stay seated in his chair. I thought that he'd fall to the floor because his whole body was convulsing. So, and I just yelled to the other customers at the restaurant, somebody call 911. And I don't know if they did or not. As soon as my brother stopped convulsing, I just picked up my phone and called 911 right away. Ambulance came and kind of checked him out and asked him if he wanted to go to the hospital, which he didn't want to do. And, you know, I said, I think that we should take him to the hospital. And the paramedics were, well, we can't force him. I said, I don't think you need to force him. You just need to recommend it. And so I told my brother, I think you need to go to the hospital and just make sure you get some tests and make sure you're okay. And so he agreed to do that very willingly once it was recommended. And I followed him to the hospital. And while they were checking him in and, you know, placing an IV in his hand, he had a second seizure. So it was, you know, the assumption was that he had the seizures because he didn't take his medicine for 2 days. And they had to do a lot of testing to make sure it wasn't something else, just in case. And you know, they didn't discover anything new.
We got 2 minutes left, so I wanted to just give you a chance to say your last statement for the show, or anything that you want to say in particular. Not your last statement forever, obviously the medication was a good education for you. Anything else that you would recommend for people that are dealing with family members right now?
Well, I think that it's important to, you know, my sisters actually have been complaining to me a lot about my brother and his short-term memory problems and, you know, how he doesn't remember anything and things like that. And when I have him over, you know, he seems to have a pretty darn good memory, and they, you know, I'm shocked by all the things that he remembers. Not that he remembers everything, but he does seem to remember a lot. And I'm 58, and I feel like I'm beginning to, you know, lose some of my memory. And so when he remembers some things, sometimes I'm completely impressed. But I think the point that I want to make is that my sisters tend to, like, try to get him to be aware of what his deficiencies are. They keep reminding him, you can't remember things. You need help with this. I feel like it's kind of a negative come from, and I don't think he appreciates it. And I think that I don't do that to him. I reward him for the things that he remembers. And if he, you know, says things that are silly and don't make sense or, you know, aren't interesting to people or something. Oh, I guess I got to go.
Well, thank you very much, Susie. Thanks, Stephen. The show is sponsored by countyproperties.net, local real estate company. And we both admire you and the audience. You sharing those important insights. Thank you.
Hang in there.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. Thank you, Susan. Stay there.
Thank you, Arnie. Thank you, Steve.
And let everybody be blessed by the Creator.
Amen.
Have a healthy
Amen.
And a successful night, life. We'll see you on the next show next month. Next month, we'll be there.